tonight, go with me to the first chapter of St. John's Gospel. Good to see Sister Donna here tonight, too. Sister Donna Arthur, been a while. Glad to see she's able to get out and be with us. Of course, it's good to see everybody. All the saints of God. First chapter, St. John. I'll start reading with the 35th verse. All right. We know this is healing service. And, of course, around here every night we'll pray for the sick. And all of us know that if we've got needs in our lives that need to be met by God and Him only, then we know to come up here and be prayed for. Hope everyone knows that. As I've said, I'll continue to repeat that I can just feel the faith building around here each time that we come to this altar and we pray for folks. I can just feel that the Lord is picking us up. Somebody's made the statement several times lately that yesterday's gone. It's just a memory. Thank God for those memories. That we have those memories that we can relate to and make reference to. Because when we read this Word of God, it's good to know that we've got so great a cloud of witness, isn't it? Good to know that we've got privileges in the Lord we haven't even tapped into yet. Amen. Not even tapped into them yet. All right. 35th verse said, "And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, We found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael saith unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered, said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Up in the 46th verse, it said, And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Back over in the 39th verse, said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Come and see. The question asked above, though, was said, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? And Jesus just looked at him and said, come and see. Come and see. I wonder, you know, when I was going through these scripture, and was really, they troubled me today. These scriptures just troubled me. Was stirring me, pulling me. And had a little bit of hindrance, but I guess it's my own fault. But as I studied or looked at these scriptures and dwelt on them and meditated on them, the Lord took me in two different directions, and I hope to preach one to you tonight or at least speak a few moments on this. When Philip told Nathanael, he said, come and see. If you think that there's any good thing can come out of Nazareth, he said, you just come for yourself, you see for yourself. Right. Then the question was asked, what seek ye? Jesus asked him, said, what seek ye? And then the Master, where do you dwell? And that has bore on me today when Jesus looked at them and said, come and see where I live. Come and see where I take my abode. As I said a while ago, we live, so far beneath the privilege. As Brother Benny used to say so aptly, so far beneath our privileges. And that's the truth. We've got so much at stake in life. Because as one brother got up here the other night and said, we've only got one chance at this. We've only got one life to live. Of course, we can go back through history and see where there's others said, I wished I had other lives that I could give. And I hope that we've come to the point in life that we feel like that, that we want to take advantage of this opportunity we got. Bear with me just a few moments. That we'll take care take care to be cautious in life, but yet to approach life in the fashion that we've only got one time we're going to pass through. I can't go back and pick up yesterday. It's gone. I can look back on yesterday and reflect, what did I do? What did I accomplish? But yesterday's gone. I can't do anything about it. They had a little illustration they used in the youth rally one year, that they brought a table and set it up here and got all kinds of tubes of toothpaste. And I think it was a $20 bill, something like that. They laid out there in front of it, said, now we want you to squirt that toothpaste out of that tube. Said, now the one that can put that toothpaste back in that tube, we're going to give you that $20 bill. Maybe some of them tried. He watched one of them pick up the tube and try to blow it up so he could get it to expand, so he could stuff some of that back down in there. But even if they could have got any of it in there at all, they couldn't have got it all back. Not all of it was going to go back in that tube. The question was asked, what seek ye? Where do you live? I want to go where you are. I want to go where you're going. Well, he said, come and see. And the ways the Lord dealt with me on this, and I'm just not sure yet which way I'll go, but I'm heading somewhere. But that question being asked, you come and see. When the world approaches us and they want to know from us, and let me tell you something, there's a lot of skepticism going on today. A lot of people are asking some hard questions. Question being asked if, and I read a little story a while ago in a book that Brother Jeff gave me to read. And in that book, the question was asked by a man that was standing, and his life was hanging in the balance. He was standing before a whole tribe of cannibals. And they asked him the question. The chief stepped forward, and they were getting ready. They had him tied to a stake, getting ready to light the fire. And this man had been witnessing to that tribe, trying to get them to let him preach to them. And the chief wouldn't allow it. So they'd gone far enough, now it was time to eat him. And when they put him in front of the tribe and they tied him to the stake, they looked at him and asked him, that chief asked him, said, "Now, if that God you've been telling me about is real, then he'll be able to save you right now. But," said, "if he's not, you're going to be ate. You're going to be a meal. You're going to be tonight's supper." And the question's asked a lot today. If your God's real, show me. Some of you have heard that or read maybe even on that Left Behind series, when the two main players were arguing back and forth one another. He's having a debate, and the Antichrist's partner, he spoke up and he said, "If this Christ that you say is this Jesus you say is real, let him show himself, because the one we call God," which was the Antichrist, said, "we can show you him. He raised himself from the dead." You know, that's scripture that I suppose will be fulfilled one of these days, when the Antichrist will be killed and he'll be raised from the dead. And they said, "Show him." Well, I ask you the question tonight. Now, the man didn't get ate that was tied to the stake. Don't let me leave you hanging there. And you probably figured that out. But you know what happened? The son of the chief stepped up in front of that man. He had a big, long sword and spear, I believe the way it was. When he stepped up there, and that chief made the statement, said, "If your God's real, let him come down here and save you. If not..." And that young man had heard the preacher telling the chief about it. Now, this was the chief's son. And when he told him about Jesus, that young man was behind the chief all the time, listening to every word that preacher was saying. Until it down in his heart, Brother Les, he became a believer. And he stepped up in front of that man, drawed the sword out of the sheath, and held it right there for a while. And he said, "I tell you," he said, "this man's God is busy right now, so he sent me to deliver him from this fiery stake." And he said, "If there's anyone who wants to try to change that," he said, you've got me to contend with, I guess. So many words. And he laid the tip of that sword down on the ground. Well, nobody made a move, except for where that man was, the circle that drawn and put him in. The chief stepped inside that. The chief's son. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. That chief's son picked that sword up and laid it on the ground again. He said, "Two more steps is all you're allowed, and that's all." The way I see it, paraphrasing maybe, this man's God sent me here to deliver him, and that's what I'm going to do, because I've heard the words. I've heard the words. That chief was asking that man, "Where is your God? You told me about him. Now let him deliver you." Well, God used that chief's son. I'll tell you how much an impact it made on him. The chief stepped down from being chief. He said, "I'll let my son be the chief from now on." He was so impressed with his son that he said, "I think I'll just step back. I'll let him be the chief from now on. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it." And the chief looked at his son, "Will you permit me to go back and cut the ropes that are binding this preacher?" Well, what question could we, or what answer could we give them, Sister Rucker, if they ask us today, where is your God? You say he's real. He's performing all these miracles, and he's saved all these people. Show me your God. Could you look at them? Can we look at them, and can we say, "Come on, I'll show you. Spend a day with me. Hear me right here. Spend a day with me if you would, and I'll show you where my God is. Spend some time with me. If today don't suffice, just give me a little bit of time." All I tell you is that when let me say this to you, when we seek the face of God, He's faithful enough to answer us when we seek Him. I don't care what the psychiatrists say. I don't care what the psychologists have to give us. And let me say to you, I stand emphatically. I may lose my mind tomorrow, but let me tell you today that standing on the faith of Jesus Christ will take us through every single trial in life. Help me right here. Is it something that we have that we just speak with the mouth, or do we talk from the heart? Healing night right here. This is healing night. Is it something that can issue from the mouth, Brother Tommy? Because the Scripture tells us that if we believe in Jesus Christ, then we'll confess with the mouth, we'll believe with the heart,
And when we tell them Jesus Christ is Lord, they'll know that somebody is living in here. They sat out here on the street the other night, I was told. Brother Randy went out to check on them. Somebody was, I think I told this the other night, but somebody was sitting out there. They was watching what was going on inside this building right here. Well, as I said a while ago, the questions are coming more numerous now than they ever have. People used to have reverence, and they wouldn't question. They wouldn't desecrate the house of God. And what concerns me greatest is that the children of the holiness folks are coming in the house of God like they know better. But yet, it's happening. It's the day we're living in. The Bible says that perilous times shall come. Perilous times are here. Can I tell you that perilous times are here? The Bible, by faith, had it pinned down that perilous times shall come. Let me tell you that faith, those words have been fulfilled, and we're living in perilous times. But we need to show the world something that'll help them to realize that Jesus Christ is real. We need to help them to realize that God sent His Son. God sent His only begotten Son. God sent His only begotten Son to save the world. He said that He didn't come down here to put everything together, but He said He come down here to cause a little division too. Because you see, everybody in the world's not going to accept Him. But He said to that one that asked Him, He said, "What seek ye? Where do you live? Come on and see." But you know, something fulfilled right here is not only did they come and see where He lived. Now, they just went for that day. The Bible said they just went for that day. Can I ask you a question? Have you just gone with Him one day? Is it just one day? Are you up today, down tomorrow? Are you down the next day? Are you down another? Until the next service comes, the next church service comes? And then are you up to the point that you've been able to, "Well, we got enough food today. Why is it that we have Sunday school class?"
That's right.
Now, I'm telling you, I know that there are some that come in here that are weak as a glass of water. That they don't have much substance in them because they've gone the week since last Sunday school's lesson until this Sunday school's lesson, and they've kind of waned away just a little, and they're not taking hold. But you see, this thing is lively. This thing's alive. There is life in this Word. Jesus said, "Come over here and see where I'm going." Well, the Bible said that they went and dwelt with Him for that day. But what about tomorrow? What have we got to show them tomorrow? Well, I think I'll make my... Hallelujah. Glory to God. What do you seek? I said a while ago, we seek the face of God that we may have something, Brother Henry, that we can give to this world. And we spoke the other day about Brother Johnny when we hugged his neck and we said, "Brother Johnny, Jesus didn't keep them from pulling up to Him when they were plucking the beard, but He allowed them and He invited them, come on and do it."
Yeah.
He did. He could have spoken, and there's no doubt about it. He just spoke a little while before in the garden. And while He was there in the garden, they walked up and He said, "Whom seek ye?" He asked the question here, "What seek ye? But whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus." He said, "I am He." I'll tell you something. There's enough power in He that can help us all, Brother Tommy, to be lifted up instead of knocked backwards. Thank God. We've got one that's willing to come and live in us today, tonight, that will give us enough power to overcome the things of this world, and He will also set our children free. Woo! It'll take my lost son and bring him back to Calvary. It'll take that sick loved one and He'll show them the nail-scarred hands. He'll bear his back and He'll show them that I took the stripes upon my back for the healing of the nations. Glory to God. Come on and see. Let me show you where I live. Let me show you. Those disciples went with Him day after day after day. And they watched Him and they learned from Him. Listen, what we have today, we might not have Him in the flesh like He was at that time. Do you believe His Word? Come on here, come on here. Do you believe this Word? That He said, "I've got so many riches and glory. that I just think I'll give you some of them. Praise God. The questions are going to come. They're going to come more numerous. Show me your God. Jesus said, come see. How well do you know Him? How well are you acquainted with Him? Is the acquaintance enough that when you arise in the morning, that the first one you have to speak to is Him? Who? Glory to God. Praise God. And can you feel the warmth of His smile when you wake up and say, good morning, Lord? Can you feel the warmth of that love when He looks down to you and He say, invite me in a little deeper? You see, we've got to walk, we've got to walk. We've got to talk, we've got to talk. And that we do in this life, if we do it according to His Word and with the love of God, listen to me, we have no business living in the land of Molly Grubs, if you please. What we have is in promise in Him. And the promise in Him is yea and amen. We got some things in life we must fulfill. First of all, we got to be born. And next thing we got to do is we got to die. What we're going to do in between there, I'd like to have the words plastered in between mine, Brother Ford, that from the date of birth to the date of death, come and see. Come and see a man that told me all things. Come and show me a man that told me all things that ever I did. Come and see. Come and see a man that when he walked up to a funeral byre, and while the young man lay dead, the mother was weeping and grieving. Jesus said, weep not, and he reached up. He touched the casket, and when he touched the casket, the young man came alive. Come on here now, I'm not preaching you something far-fetched, because not only did he did not stop with his life when he was taken to the cross and murdered, if you please, but that power and that come and see, if you please, was put on these disciples until they preach the gospel to us that we can have the same power. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. We can have the same thing. We're living below our privilege. Come and see. Come and see. By faith. By faith. By faith we know He's alive. And you see, it's by faith that we have this unction inside us, that when we speak His righteousness and His goodness, when we tell the world about Him, there's something to them that lets them know they know what they're speaking of. Come and see. And when you speak the righteousness of the Lord, when you tell them that you're not going to partake of the things that they partake of, that I must draw closer to Him, come and see. Come and see what? All you're telling me is come and see. What I want you to come and see is that down inside the child of God, the true living child of God, is one that's alive and well today. He's not dead. When they come to you and say, show me Him. But I've got an article in a Time magazine that I got, and I got it just yesterday, and I haven't read it all. But the headline grabbed me just so forceful when it said right up there, the gene of God. Is God in the DNA of man? Now, y'all know what the DNA is. That's when they can take a little swab and put it in your mouth and go take a piece of a dead body. And they can compare those things and let you know whether you were related or not. Or this, you know, that DNA. And that question was asked, is the DNA? I don't know, Brother Jim. When I started reading that article, my mind was whirling so fast, I couldn't read that fast. I just closed it up, and I sat there, and I got to thinking. You know, the man that supposed to wrote this article is an agnostic. He said, I believe there is a God, or is a group of gods that is leading mankind and teaching them and showing them the way to go. But you know what? If they could only come to a holiness church when the Holy Ghost begins to move, or just step inside of the love of God that is issuing forth from God's children, they can see. They don't have to go in here, Brother Tommy, and separate the DNA from man. I don't know how he found it. I didn't get to read all that, but what he did say was that I found something in man that he has got to have something or somebody to worship. One of the other writers said, yeah, they're just so weak-minded that they can't make decisions for themselves. Come and see. Come and see. Listen to this in Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But you see, they're getting wiser. They're getting smarter. And they can tell you, well, even now the statement's been made through one of the presidential candidates I heard. They said that he made the statement. He said if so-and-so is elected as president, that we'll see the cripple get up out of the chairs and walk. Praise God, it don't take DNA for us to tell them that, does it?
That's right.
Amen. Come on and see. Come on over here and see. We're watching God touch the bodies of people that are sick, and he's a-moving for them. Come on and see that we know one that raised a man up out of his deathbed, that he was at his one of his major arteries ruptured, and when it happened, so he was a dead man. But we saw the power of prayer. And come and see, we know a man that's able to fulfill those things that we seek of him. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Come and see. It don't take a DNA test to let them know. Come on to the house of God. Some have made such a sham out of it. And they put it under big tents and put it on TV screens and taken it and made such a circus out of it to where they went and hired people to come in wheelchairs. And they could lay hands on them. They'd jump up out of the wheelchair and run around the church or the tabernacle and say, I got healed. God help them. Don't go see that. Don't go see that. Now all they got to do is flip a button, turn on a screen, and they can watch them blow on people, fall out in the spirit, so to speak, until they make a mockery of it. Oh yeah, there's some that believe. There are. There's some that believe. They make a mockery of us. They surely do. But can I tell you, we can show them the real unction of the Holy Ghost. Without speaking any names, but bless God, don't tempt me. I can tell you this evening that there is one that is so real. There is one that is so perfect. There is one that desires so much to dwell in us that darkness has to flee from light. When the light, that perfect light, enters into us, brothers and sisters, they're going to take notice that we have been with him. Have you sought his face today? Have you looked for him to find out, are you dwelling in me? The light of heaven, are you dwelling in me? Have we got something that we can show in this hour? The sham and the facade and the veneer. Have we got something we can show them that this is the real Holy Ghost? No. No, we have those that will sit among us and doubt and say, we're not seeing this here. Hang on, would you do that? Come on and see, because this ain't done yet. I'm not through seeking the Lord, are you? Glory to God. I'm not through searching for God. That scripture said, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. So when somebody gets up bragging on Jesus, there'll be another one say, oh, he ain't got what he says he got. She don't have what she says she has. I talked to a young man just the other evening. Just talked to him just the other evening about women preachers. He said, now, brother, I don't want to discuss this. I said, well, I didn't realize there was a problem, but I said, if you don't believe, I said, that's up to you. I'm not going to fall out with you over it. He said, well, now, I'll be honest with you. He said, I've seen some women preachers that they ain't called. I looked at him and I said, I've seen some men preachers. He said, I know. And I brought a couple names up to him. What do you think about them? Oh, now I'll tell you what, there's something there. There's something there. They can't say, yeah, the preacher's living there. I said, I'll tell you what you do. I said, next time I get Sister Donna Smith up to preach, I said, I want you to come sit and listen. Woo! Glory to God. I felt the Holy Ghost rise up in me. He looked at me and he said, who's that? I said, Sister Donna Smith. I said, you just come and listen to her. Next time we get her to preach, I said, I'll give you a call. If you're very close, I said, you come on and you listen to her. I said, bless God, the anointing comes on that sister because she pays a price. She seeks the face of God. Well, Sister Smith's got, she's looking at the rest of this world and she's telling them, come on and see. You know, she's not strutting herself. She's trying to tell the world about Jesus. She's trying to tell them that this man is real. This one that we know is real. This one that we search for, he's a living inside of me. Church, tonight, he's a living. He's not one that we can stand and lay aside today and just pick him up tomorrow. But I'm talking about living there. Somebody that's dwelling there. Somebody that's supping with us. Have you ever supped with anybody? Now listen, there's something more to supping than just grabbing a hold of somebody, sitting down and having a drink with them and being on your way. They do that in the bars every night. I'm talking about sitting down supping with somebody. I looked at that young man. I said, I know that you've been taught not to believe in them. I can tell by the way you're talking. He's jumping out again. He said, I'm not falling out with anybody over it. I looked at him. God help me. Sometimes I get too plain. I said, well, if I wasn't a pastor of this church and you wouldn't look for some place to preach, I said, would you agree with me? He looked at me. He got me by the hand. He said, Brother Bailey, please. He said, I really mean it. He said, I don't fall out with people over it. I said, well, I'm not trying to provoke you into an argument. I said, what I'd like to tell you is that God will use them that will let him use them. You see, just like I told him, I said, it was rehearsed to me by some of the elders, and Brother John Fields was one of them. Brother John Fields said the reason why Sister Ruby had to start the church that she started, because he said there wasn't any men that had the backbone or the stamina or that to do that needed to get up and start a church. They didn't want to buck the establishment. Said Sister Ruby had just enough of the Spirit of the Lord. She said, come and see. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me to start prayer meetings that we may start another work. Then you come see for yourself. Hey, God, I ask you to do. And just come and see because the Spirit of God is dwelling among us. Brother Dishman talking about hearing the heels clicking on the floor. And I thought to myself, praise God, there's something that can start rolling down in here that before they even hear the click of the heels, praise God, they can feel the Spirit and the power of God. Listen to me tonight. We can show them something. We have something to give to them. Do we have what Christ said when he handed it to them? Do we have it? Do we have it? Do we have it? Bear with me. I'm losing my voice. Somebody told me, said, this place is so damp. And I said, oh, Lord, get up and preach a while. It's anything but damp. It's so dry you just can't spit cotton even at times. But let me tell you something tonight. We've got one that's desiring to show himself, but he needs somebody to show it through. Amen. Hosea said, come and let us return unto the Lord. Glory to God. Have you left your first love? There been a time or two, Brother Junior, I stepped away from the plate. Been a time or two, Brother Henry, I've stepped away. I went to going on habit instead of unction. I went to walking because I knew what to do rather than calling on him to direct my step. It ain't in me. It's not in me. I read it to you a while ago. It's not in me. It's not in me to direct my steps. It's not in the doctor to direct my steps. Although I don't preach against doctrine. Don't misunderstand me. But I will say, church, we better seek God first. The time is just around the corner that there may not be a doctor there for you. You hear what I'm saying? The doctors are getting afraid. They're getting out of practice. Or they're trying to move to another area. They're trying to do this, trying to do that. Let me tell you something. It's like John Gabbard said. He said, you better pray that doctor you go to, that he made straight A's in school. Hey, man. Come. Hosea said, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn
You think a lot of these things that are happening on this earth? Somebody said one time about a tornado that hit Xenia, Ohio, and devastated that town. Just a few homes was all that was standing. And come to find out, praise His name, that all those homes that were standing all belonged to Christians. They belonged to children of God, where the path of the tornado went. The path directly hit Brother Bill Price's mother's house. The path was direct. Her house was directly in the path. Everything around her house was decimated, torn to pieces, splintered, torn down to nothing. The only thing that happened to her house was the corner of the roof, Brother Les. There was one shingle missing. I'm talking about one of the largest tornadoes that's ever hit America. Right here in Xenia, Ohio, several years ago. That's what God can do. Seeking His face. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, He will bind us up. It's up to us. I'm going to quit right here in a few moments. But it's up to us to show this world. Jesus said, come and see. Come and see where I'm living. Is He living in you? I'm asking you. If there's a question and you're wondering and there may be doubt, let me invite you to find you a place and pray until you get through to Him. Like the brother preached the other night about praying through, there's some place we can get in the Lord that we know without a doubt He's there. He's got that same power. Those disciples, when they went out, they were so full of the power of God and had such communion with that supposed dead man Jesus, that they had such communion with Him that when they walked down the street, people were shoving the sick ones out there in front of them so that their shadow would just pass over them. They can't lay their hands on everybody, but there's something that's coming from those men. Look at their countenance. Look at their eyes. Look at the smile on their face. Look at the consternation. Look what it is that they have. But I'll tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that He's got something that we can have, we can give to this world. Is it just for those apostles? I think it was Brother Noah Phillips, may have been him. Brother Don Rich. Standing talking with him down in Alabama. I looked at him and I said, Brother Rich, I said, you preach something tonight, brother. There's a lot of churches out here say that that's false teaching. He said, brother. He said, let them come see for themselves. I said, now, Brother Rich. I said, you preach that we could have the same power the apostles had. He said, brother, where do you live? Where do you live? He said, I don't know about you, brother, but he said, I'm going to live in the shadow of my Redeemer. He said, I think I'll just live in the smile of my God. And just a few months later, Brother Rich, he don't claim anything. One as humble a man as I've ever met in my life, but he is a great preacher. He can preach in churches that some of the rest of us can't even get a smell of. Because they know he'll preach the truth to them. He won't cause any trouble. He'll just preach to them, move on down the road. He went into an area where one particular denomination believed that all the only way you can get saved is through water baptism. He went into that church, and as a young man, middle-aged man, I should say, was pastoring a church there, just got it started. And I'm going to quit right here in a moment. When that young man invited him, come preach him a revival, Brother Rich told him, he said, brother, I've got to go to Panama. He said, I really can't come then. He said, Brother Rich, please, I need you to come. I need you to come preach for me. He said, I really feel God to ask you. Brother Rich said, well, brother, I appreciate that. I thank you for your desire to have me. But he said, I've got to go to Panama. He's a missionary. Brother Rich preaches down in South America a lot. And he called the brother back a little late later. He said, brother, he said, I'll be there. He said, good, because he said, I want you to come pray for me. I need healing. Brother Rich came to his church. When he got there at that church, that man, I knew him. You do too. That man was wasted away to where he was down, I think he told me he was about 120 pounds and had been up to 200, walking on these crutches and on walkers, couldn't get around. His body was wasting away. Nobody knew what the problem was. Nobody knew, Brother Les, what was, the doctors couldn't figure out what his problem was. How could they stop this? The revival started. Brother Rich got up the first night, and Brother looked at him and said, "Brother Rich, will you pray for me?" He said, "No." Brothers went back, sat down, all dejected. Brother Rich preached first night, second night, third night, fourth night. Fifth night, he went to him and said, "Brother Rich, will you pray for me?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard from God today." He told one of the brothers of the church, said, "Go get a chair and bring it up front of the Bible stand and set it." He said, "I want your pastor to come up here and sit in that chair." Brother Rich invited him to come and see. So Brother Don said he laid his hands on that man, got the church around, got him to pray, and said he'd fasted all week long for that very service. He said the Lord already told him what night he'd be praying for him. When he laid his hands on him, unless they didn't pray all night long. He laid his hands on him, all church gathered around, and that little 120-pound man, let's say, jumped up out of that seat and went to running around that church as hard as he could run, just as fast as he could run. You see, there are things that God will use us in this hour. It's that we've got to pay the same price. Just as Brother Dishman said so often, he said, if you want extraordinary power with God, you got to pay an extraordinary price. What do we want? What do we want to show the world? Where do you live? Come on and see. Where is it that you're abiding right now? Come on and see. Is it that someone called me the other day and said, "Brother Lloyd, I want you to come pray for this person in the hospital." And I said, "Well, who is it?" They told me, said, "Well, we don't know the name, but she's acquaintance with my daughter. We want you to come to the hospital and pray with her." I said, "You give me a day to pray and to fast." And I said, "I'll do what I can to be there and pray for that sister." When a time come, make a long story short, I didn't get to go pray for her. Because I told the sister, I said, "You tell your daughter that I'll pray and I'll fast and I'll come and I'll pray for her in that hospital." You see, they didn't want to hear the truth. They knew one of the first things I'd ask him, "Are you willing to change the life that you're living right now? Come on here with me. Come on here with me." He's not going. God don't make junk, brothers and sisters. Nor does He raise junk. He will change them if they've got a heart to be changed. But at the first question I really felt in my heart to ask Him, "Are you willing to change your ways and live for God if He touches your body?" Brother Jeff, there's not glory to God, not one doubt in my mind that God would have healed that young woman of her cancer laying there in that hospital. But there was a question that would have been asked. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to go. She got up, she left. They didn't want me to go. Whatever happened, whatever it was. But are we willing to show them where we're living tonight? Are we willing to show them that He's a living down inside us? What do we seek? Well, glory to God. Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Oh, Lord, correct me. But with judgment. How many want ready to be judged right now? Come on here. Listen to what the rest of that says. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Lord, correct me, but with judgment. When those apostles received that power, the Bible said that they went out teaching and preaching others. Didn't Jesus go out and tell them? Preach the gospel. Told them to pray for the sick. Yeah, but now He told the disciples. He was just talking to that few that was right there. I found out that there was more than them that done these works. You see, Paul wasn't there. Oh, but he was one that was out of time. He was out of season. He was born in... was raising him up for a different time. Where are we today?
That's right. Amen.
What do we seek? Hallelujah. I love to make a challenge.
What are we seeking? Well, right now, I just don't feel like seeking anything. I don't imagine Jesus felt like walking up Calvary either. But nevertheless, Brother Marshall was faulted when he was on his medications. Now, this is just one time. We know he was a sick man, and he was on medications. But Brother Marshall told his wife, he said, "Jude, I ain't taking no more of it. Threw it in the garbage." Sister Judy went scratching in the garbage, see if she could find it. Marcia said, "Jude." Did I tell you there was a place in that little house right over there on William Street that when the mullet grub began to filter through under the door and seep through there, and Brother Marcia would go to feeling bad, he'd crawl up those steps into the upstairs of his home. An attic turned into a room. Brother Marshall would make a right turn, then make another right turn, and he'd crawl back in that little room on the end. And Brother Marshall would go to seeking the face of God. Well, he may have passed away with a dreaded affliction, but he was telling everybody in this world, "Come and see." Wasn't he? Wasn't he? "Come and see." Yeah, well, God's not moving like He used to. Brother Marshall said, "Come on over to Flatwoods." God don't do like He used to do. Let me tell you something. What God done for me, He said. And He said, not only did He do it for me, but He's done it for others. Where are we living that we can show the world? I'm quitting right here. As they get us a song, boy, it's short. As they get a song, and I know we did shout and scream and run and bang off the walls and all those good things. But can I tell you, if you'll seek the Lord, if we'll have Him living in us, that when they ask us the question, "Where does He live?" then we ought to be able to have words issue from our mouth. We ought to have a light shining from our eye. I don't care if you're blind. It don't make any difference if you can't speak a word. If you've got that living down inside of you, that one that this world is seeking for, don't even realize it. If we have Him there and He's issuing for it, they'll see that there's something about this salvation. Like I said a while ago, the questions are getting more numerous every day. They're calling us to task. Brother asked me the other day, he said, "When y'all going to come to our church that I won't hear you sing?" I said, "I'm not interested in singing right now, if you don't mind." He said, "What?" Talked to me about coming down to Bond when I went down there. "Well, we want you to get up and sing." I said, "No, that's just fine. You let them go ahead and sing." I said, "Let's pray for the sick. Let's witness to somebody in here that needs help. Let's talk to someone that's looking for a living, lively, thriving Savior, and somebody down as somebody's got Him living in there, and they've got Him captured, but He's a living and alive and well." Well, those apostles, they showed us the way. But the prophets before them prophesied that these things would come to pass, that your old men and your young men and your daughters, we'd all have this power. Do you want it? May I ask the question? Do you want to have power with God? I've been preaching and just almost pleading with the Lord to give us that breakthrough. Boy, we had a good service the other night. Had a good service. That Saturday night service was just wonderful. Friday night, it's great. But still, that breakthrough, Brother Tommy, are we willing to pay the price? Like I said, this is healing night. We've heard enough preaching on healing in our lifetimes, each one of us. And we know God heals. Yeah, we may die tomorrow of some dread sickness, but God still heals. Brother Henry, He's got strength for you. No, don't point the finger there. Brother Henry, He's got strength for you. My Lord spoke to me today and told me to tell you
that your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. No matter how good you live, no matter if you don't think you're good enough, you call on Him. Brother Henry, He's got strength for your body. 80 plus years old is nothing to God. For you tonight, Brother Henry. Yes, sir, I certainly will. Brother Charles, you've experienced that you may not remember. Brother Pete, He's kept you when the dark clouds had you smothered. Brother Lonnie, you had to go get some assistance. And it's a ticking. But what's a ticking, my brother, is the real heart. Sister Betty, you've gone through a rough time here lately. But He's been with you. Out of your own mouth, I've heard you say that God has helped you along. Are you willing? Are you willing to tell the world? Are you willing to look them right in the eye? Are you willing, Brother Wes? Not today and then do it tomorrow and then next. No, I'm talking about every day. Is your mind made up? I feel the precious Spirit of God right here. Sister Dorothy, I am apologizing that I had you get on there so quick. My intentions were pure. Sister Donna, does God have your number or not? Come on here. You've got to nod the head. But every one of us, oh, but my trial is so bitter. Sister Dorothy, you didn't know. There was things happened that you had no doubt what was taking place until it was rehearsed later. But only the only way the rehearsal came was because the hand of God told your children, come see. What seekest thou? God's got big plans for you, sissy. Your mind made up? A lot of questions yet, but is your mind made up? I feel the Holy Ghost supremely strong right here. Sister B, a long time you served the Lord. And I heard you say before you wished you'd started a long time before. God's hand's been with you. A lot of people gave up on you, on your health, some time back. But when you dial that 836-47, whatever it is, and you say, Sister B, you going to church tonight? I am. I'm going. Glory to God. Brother Junior, my. The devil has wickedly come at you. But I found out if you'll submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, no matter how you, what you think ought to go, do what God wants you to do. You served the Lord long enough. You know, brother. But He's wanting to make a spectacle out of us. May I say, He wants to display His power. He'll do that through us if we'll let Him. So much more could be said because I've prayed about all of you. I'd like to see Brother Jacobs toss that old those old canes away and straighten up and be running for God again. Oh, no, now that's impossible, Brother Lloyd. You're going too far. Hogwash. Hogwash. God's got the power to do it. Well, I guess Benny Hinn would have said that. Why? They'd have been on their feet screaming, yelling, throwing their wallets at him. But I'm asking you to take it deep. Don't let it be surface like the charismatic, but take it deep. As they sing tonight, I'm asking you, and Brother Henry will anoint you. If there's anyone else that wants to be anointed, I am nothing but a servant of God. And I thank God that He's privileged and brought me and called me to be His servant. And I want to pray for anyone. I want the elders to gather around. Let's do it the scriptural way. Because I don't have anything except a bottle of oil right here and a willing heart to pray for them that are sick and afflicted. Got a great assistant pastor. I feel like he's mentoring me. So if there's anyone that has a need in their life you want to be prayed for, I invite you to come forward. And if you just want to come have prayer, then you just come and have a season of prayer. But how many believes God? Maybe I need to start over. Turn the clock back about 30 minutes. Anyone have a need?